This is Rafflebix After Hours.
Oh, hello. It's Rack Addicts After Hours time, episode 145. Yes, that's right, we've done 145. Well, actually, we've done 144. Anyway, music and technology podcastatrons. Let me update you on my week, because that's what we start with. Firstly, I were in Manchester. I was not even going to try and do a Manchester accent, because I don't even know what they sound like. Yes, trade show styly thing for a company of vast proportions. Might not tell you who they are, just in case. Is that sensitive information? I don't know. But this was my outing with the Sound Devices Mix Pre 10. Just being a mixer, not a recorder, so not exactly using its capability, but it was glorious to be working in a sound context. And, ooh, actually I didn't have any trouble from wireless. Ooh, that's refreshing. Wireless is always a little bit scary sometimes, but it was fine.
I'm not really a fan of anything that isn't hardwired together.
Yeah, I had a job ages ago, which was, I think it was for some company that advises people who bet on horse racing? I can't remember. Anyway, it was in London, right on the river. Ooh, it was in...
Is that south or north of the river?
I think it's on the Bowth Sank. It is Doggett's Coat and Badge, that sort of vaguely octagonal brutalist pub. But yeah, it was 6 or maybe 8 omnidirectional lavalier microphones sitting in front of the PA. So you can imagine the feedback misery I had to try and circumvent, and thus I hate wireless. Actually, it wasn't even wireless's fault, even though I did have to spend a long time choosing frequencies. But wireless omnidirectional lav mics, no, don't like you.
Yeah, I can imagine that would have been quite a sticky sort of setup if you were sat in front of the PA.
It was unpleasant.
I'm assuming you got it under control eventually.
It was early days in my really? Sounding career.
So were any of the participants slightly deafened by squealing feedback?
No, I think I saved that. It was just very quiet the whole time. And they said, oh, can you turn it up? No. Can I move the PA? And then they'd say, no, you have to leave it where it is. Can't do anything for you then.
It's just going to feedback. Was that indoors or outside?
That was indoors, yeah.
Okay.
But yes, the Manchester one, glorious, top marks. That was fun-ish. The other part of my week was today, in fact. I have a squash match this coming Thursday in Surbiton, if you care. You probably don't care. Anyway, so I have a message from our team captain, organiser, somebody, and it says who's in the team and such. £15 match fee, that's pricier than I remember. Full fines in play, which was worrying. So I said, that sounds dangerous. Who wants to fill me in on the fines situation? And it's £1 a fine. And I was advised, bring cash and always bring 5 £1 coins. This match could cost me £20. I don't know that I want to play squash that much, given I'm already paying a membership to the club. Anyway, £1 fine for being late, 50p for serving out, £1 fine for swearing, that's easy to avoid, I'm alright, £1 fine for not wearing the team shirt, I don't even have a team shirt, this isn't fair, £1 fine for losing.
For losing?
Yeah.
But someone's going to lose.
I know, it's not fair, I don't even know where this money goes. Does it just line somebody's pockets? What's going on here?
I have no idea.
So, dampening my enthusiasm for my favourite sport, thank you very much, men's second team. Rude. So I'll let you know what happens, but I'm not looking forward to it now.
And you're going to be slightly, well, I mean, there's always the possibility that you're not going to be as out of pocket as you perceive.
It might be okay, but...
You've just got to win.
Yeah, I really want to win. And I really don't want to serve out because that could get really expensive.
So is it just the one match that you're entered into?
Yeah, so I'll be playing, just the one match. So that will be up to 5 games. It's to 11 points, this one. You score a point every rally. So it could be over incredibly quickly. Or last an hour. There is an in-between, but we'll find out. That's my tale of the week. What about you, Pete? What have you been doing?
Well, unfortunately, I have to report that my gas has surfaced again, if that's the right way of describing it.
What have the doctors been saying?
Keep taking the pills.
What is causing your ailment this time?
Well, it's just there's a selection of things that I'd been contemplating and some other things that we're going to be talking about in the news section as well. But just to allude to all of that is that it's going to trigger the need for me to build another scarab case.
Oh dear. You had said you were going to potentially do a two-case thing, but I've forgotten what the other case was previously going to be.
Well, it's going to be pretty much the same size, so two rows of 104 HP, maybe a slightly different power supply because I started using a different power unit in some of the other cases that I built for other people, and it seems to work quite well. But other than that, the design will be exactly the same.
What about the theme? Because that was a self-contained performance machine.
So I was thinking of a two-scarab case set up, but everything feeding into one performance mixer in one of the cases. So I was thinking of the WMD performance mixer.
You want to get a wriggle on with that one? That's one of those companies that has sort of disappeared. I think they're trading until maybe 2023 sometime, then they're going to vanish.
Yeah. I wonder how that's going to reflect, because that was the mixer that everybody wanted. That was the one to have. Yeah. And that's the main reason, because I've got, I want to say 6-7 channels. I forgot, but I need more.
Yeah, you've got that ST modular in the corner, haven't you?
Yes.
Six-channel mixer.
I've also been contemplating actually making a real endeavour to fix the hex mix.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, so one of the units that I'm going to purchase is the special limited edition of the Polycinematic unit.
Yeah, I can never remember that company's name.
Nobula.
Nobula, yes, brilliant.
One of the units will be the Nobula Polycinematic, but in the dark edition.
Yeah, the classy black, grey and white.
Yes, I actually quite like the pink and blue, to be honest.
Well, but it doesn't fit your theme.
I know, I know. So yeah, more of the same, black case, black modules, black patch leads, and a other module that I'm quite interested in getting, we will be talking about shortly.
Ooh, well, if there's no more tales of the week, then we can jump straight in.
Fire away.
Oh my, well, I think we've mentioned this one before, but there wasn't a huge amount of information because it was teased, but it is available now, The Endorphins Ghost, in collaboration with Andrew Huang. Amazing. Take it away, Pete. You're the one who wants one of these so badly.
Yes, I watched several videos on this particular unit and was very impressed. And one of the best videos was actually Andrew's own video on it. And I've been waiting for something like this for quite a long time. And I can see how, I don't know what his input would have been. I would imagine it's functional suggestions rather than discussing the design side of it in respect to circuitry. I would imagine, can we have a unit that has got this, this and this in it? But it's one of those things that I've thought for a long time. Why is there not a multi-effects processor, as in several effects that you can run simultaneously for Eurorack? I mean, there may be some other modules, but I'm not overly aware of them. But this is the real deal.
Yeah, because when you think multi-effects in the modular world, it's something like a happy nerding effects aid. Like you've got, that's just one module for one effect, but it'll have a big choice of them.
Yes, whereas this is multiple effects that you can bring in and out at will and also rearrange the order of the effects, which is very dramatic. Have you watched any of the videos yet?
I have. I watched Andrew's one as well.
Yeah, and then it was significant in how much that you can mangle anything that you put through it. And I don't know, with the Endorphins, do you think they've abandoned that gold colour that they used to do all the livery in?
Yeah, well, they had the shuttle system certainly came in that one, didn't it? And the bits of.
Yes.
It was different. It was quite nice. Orangey gold.
Yeah, everything seems to be either silver or black, which I'm not complaining about. I'm just
Like your silver and black. Well, Moth is all silver, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, apart from the Circadian Rhythms. Or have you sold that already?
The Circadian Rhythms has gone.
Aha, at last you're free from that almost silver.
Yeah, I sort of knocked it down a little bit price-wise. It went straight away. Actually, I don't think I'd even used it properly. I think I'd switched it on, played around with it, and that's as far as it went. And that was 3-4 years ago.
The only things I've found in terms of multi-effects would be the Empress Zoya and the Euro version, whatever that one's called. And the Poly Hector, those kind of, well, they're just lots of things in a box, but those will do multi-effects technically.
Yes.
But other than that, no, that's certainly new ground.
Well, it certainly made my ears prick up when I heard about this, and I wasn't disappointed when I watched the videos.
Right, your mixing conundrum, I have some options for you. One, which I have no idea if it'll be any good, but I just came across it. A company called Noisy Fruits have a mixer called 8chan, because it's 8 channels. That's 8 mono channels, 2 sends, a gain control. That's kind of your lot. It looks pretty DIY and basic, but I just thought it'd be interesting to look at. But more serious options, there are 2 similar systems available from ST Modular again, and Frap Tools. That is a kind of custom expandable mixing solution. So the ST Modular system is called the Stereo Sum. So you have to grab a Stereo Sum main, which is an 8HP module, which has a big old volume control on it, a headphone output, and your main IO. So left and right out, and your 2 effects sends. And to that, you can connect, as far as I know, because I looked into this myself a while ago, any number of mono and stereo channels, which are 4HP each, I think. Mono channel 4HP, stereo channel is 6HP, and those have an input, a mute, a toggle switch for the send, pan, a high cut, low cut, single pot, tilt EQ style control, a send pot, a level, and an option to send it to an AFL bus or to the main mix. And they look like that. And then obviously there's a stereo version. So it's modular within your modular.
So a modular performance mixer.
Exactly. And Frap Tools have a similar system called the CGM. Creative Mixer. So Creative Mixer. I don't know. Ooh, actually. Ah, no, there were some showing discontinued on Modular Grid. They've just refreshed it. So in their system, their master is 12HP, but has balanced XLR outputs, headphones as well, a very nice multi-segment VU meter, a separate mono out, which is quite nice, and a master volume knob. Then they have a quad stereo channel module in 18HP, a single stereo channel, and you actually have a group module in this one as well, which is quite cool. I remember the Frap Tools ones being quite expensive, but those are the kind of the ones. With the WMD option, it's so popular, you might be lucky on the used market if you can't buy new.
I have seen used ones for sale, but even those aren't cheap.
Yeah, they have the main one and the expander, and more recently they did main and expander in one panel.
Yeah, and it's the best part of both those two, isn't it? Best part of £1,000.
I think so, somewhere like £800-900 most of the time.
Yeah.
Hopefully the prices don't quickly ascend when they finally do leave the Eurorack space.
Is the hex mix expandable, or is it? It is expandable, and not necessarily more channels. It's VCAs.
Yeah. So if you connect the hex VCA to the hex mix, it just puts VCAs in front of your normal channels. It doesn't really add anything. Of course, you can always use different mixers for different things and kind of cascade them down into smaller mixers and a separate output module. A separate output module or something. Thoughts to be had.
Yes, I'm going to have a good serious think about it. Unfortunately, yet again, it's a situation where I know that I'm going to enjoy building the thing maybe more than maybe more than using it, which is a bit naughty, really. We'll see.
It's part of the fun. Go back to last episode and remember, liking cameras is okay, even if you don't really like photography, or however it was phrased. Unfortunately, that website has had a little bit of an issue with its web hosting and is currently not available, and I've seen their Twitter feed. They're angry with their web hosting company. Anyway, speaking of WMD, a company that is disappearing, Future Retro, I said was disappearing, but they're back under new management, apparently.
So what's transpired there, then?
The company says that founder Jared Flickinger is no longer involved in day-to-day operations, but they hope to keep him involved as part of the design team and do not want to change the company's brand in any way. So that's interesting. They have resurfaced by sort of kicking somebody out the side, which is a bit interesting.
Well, I would imagine some fresh finances come into the organisation.
Indeed. Well, there we are. If you liked Future Retro, you're okay.
It's a shame that something similar doesn't happen with WMD.
Yeah, you never know. There's still time, because they are going to continue for quite a while with their sort of last round of new modules shipping and all that.
Okay, I'm going to have to study the mixer situation, see what's going on with them.
Yes, indeed. Super quick one. There is a new 2HP module for glitch and stutter effects called Slice. Seems to be in kind of a similar corner to Freeze, but without the sample rate reduction, but that's there if you want it. Ooh, Dreadbox news. We like Dreadbox. So, at Synthfest, they have announced a re-release of the Erebus, which was temporarily unavailable. But interestingly, they've gone back to reproduce version 2, not version 3, which is nice.
Yeah, I saw the interview. It was at Synthfest, I believe. Mm-hmm. And are they going to do it as a kit as well?
I'm not sure, because that was a different design. That was the little Erebus, slightly cut down. And yeah, this is an interesting one. It's sort of, it looks kind of like the V3, but without the wooden end cheeks, which felt a bit like an afterthought.
Well, they've made this one modular compatible, Eurorack compatible.
Oh, have they? I didn't know.
Yeah, that's
brilliant.
Apparently the other one was just not the right size. Mm. You couldn't even sort of modify it. Yeah. But this one has been tailored, so it's exactly Eurorack standard.
Well, that's brilliant. I think it's a modern classic, so it's good to have it around still. And they are also reintroducing Hades, which is a bass synthesizer that has a bit of a cult following. Now, on my news gathering, I saw that Sequential have released an update for the, what's this thing called? The Take 5. And I realized I just couldn't remember it. I'd sort of never heard of it. I was like, what? When did this come out? You know this one.
Yes.
Because there's the Pro 3, which in my mind looks identical. And I was really confused. I thought, wait, they've got a 5-voice polysynth? What? Was it just me? Had you forgotten this existed?
No, I can't really forget about it because the customers keep asking, what's the difference between a Pro 3 and a Take 5?
So you end up in work on a loop going, well, the Take 5 is a 5-voice poly and the Pro 3 is... Yeah. Mm. Have you played one? Are they anything special?
It's okay for the money. It hasn't really got the presence of the more classic Sequential instruments.
Wow, that's a glowing review. Take 5, everybody. Okay, right. So we're going to move into the world of keyboards for a bit of a transition into the more exciting bits of this week. Keith McMillan. Do you know Keith McMillan? They have the kind of weird...
Little pad things and little controller jobbies.
Indeed. So their most basic option was the K-board, and they have re-released it or updated it with a Type-C connector, and it's back. But my question is, does it have the horrible, gooey, soft-touch rubbery stuff that will shed and be a disaster later?
Either peel off in a not satisfying way, or get all tacky and horrible and just feel horrible.
Yeah, pick up dust and
sticky and... I don't know why people keep utilising that finish when it deteriorates in such a foul way.
I can't think of anybody doing it recently, but I think like a lot of the KMI back catalogue, old designs that they still have kicking around that are still finished in the same way. I don't know if they've changed that, but there we are. It is quite a good little controller because it does have polyphonic aftertouch and it is really small and very durable and I think might have some cool arpeggiator stuff. At least the Q-Nexus did, which I had one of those, which I picked up really cheap. And that was when I discovered it was one of those ones with the horrible goop.
Mm.
I think I just binned it, to be honest. It was like 30 quid and it was just a disaster.
Just horrible.
Yeah. So, from one very average keyboard to another average keyboard, Arturia have had a live stream thing this evening. They've released an update to the Mini Lab. That's really not fascinating. An Arturia Mini Fuse 4, who really cares? And they've also introduced a augmented grand piano plugin, ideal for film scoring, video game. I do not care. But what I do care about is the rather interesting Mini Freak. Pete, you've known about this for longer than I have. What do you think and reckon?
Well, initially, until you gave me some feeds and speeds, I was thinking it was just a reconfigured MicroFreak with a sort of proper keyboard instead of the capacitive touch, but it's so much more.
It is indeed. So, 6 voices, hybrid, and I think there's 2 oscillators a voice, but I might have to go and look for that later. But yes, it does appear to be the kind of keystep style keyboard, which is fine for depending on what kind of playing you wanted to do. The capacitive touch wasn't ideal. I know a lot of people say they think this looks kind of terrible. I quite like its form factor. I think it's cool. The Mod Matrix stuff is awesome, and I believe it is expanded in its modulation capabilities from the MicroFreak. Let me check on that dual oscillator per voice situation. Well, there are 2 sound engines with 22 oscillator modes. Yeah, I think sound engines instead of oscillators. Oh, there's another page that I missed in the notes. Yeah, 2 sound engines. Sound engines would be your oscillators in your typical architecture with the usual flavor of wavetable, VA, physical modeling and all that kind of stuff. and analog filters, which is nice. Some good stuff. It becomes stereo with the effects, and you can even use it in a 12-voice paraphonic mode with your usual unison and mono. What else is exciting? It's still got the weird and wild arpeggiator stuff going on. That's kind of your lot. But I think it'll be really cool.
Yes, it's just a little bit pricey.
Yeah, what's the big number? I've missed it again. Oh, yeah, the big 600.
Yeah, it's particularly expensive in the UK because of the exchange rate with the pound at the moment. So the price we've got is 599.99 UK pounds.
Ouch. I still don't think it's wildly unreasonable, but yeah, it is still a chunk.
I think if they could have managed just to put a full-size key bed in there, it would have just...
Yeah, I think sort of imagining it based on my feeling of the key step, I think it will be a nice form factor, being quite light and portable, but still, real keys would be nice. If it is the key step key bed, then it is likely to sort of sound springy and plasticky and annoying after a while.
I'll let you know next week. I'm sure I'll see one in the shop.
Testing. Well, you probably won't be testing for international dispatch, because why would anyone buy in pounds to ship to Europe anyway,
when we've already paid a premium to bring it from Europe into the UK. Although I would imagine these things are made in China or somewhere similar.
I haven't checked, but I'm sure there'll be a raft of demo videos, because they've probably had them in the hands of influencers. So it'll be cool to see what sounds can be coaxed out of it, because I mean, a lot of sounds can be coaxed from the Micro Freak. So we'll see.
Yeah, we had a couple of weeks heads up on this particular product, but it was embargoed, so nothing could be said till today.
Good stuff. Good stuff. That brings us to the end of the news. Oh my! That, of course, brings in the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. You've got it there, Pete. Let's go. What have you got for us?
Right. I just want to preface this with, I have no particular, I wouldn't say interest, but the subject matter of this particular YouTube channel that I'm going to discuss has no relevance to my life whatsoever, but I have found myself watching it on regular occasions. So my multimedia recommendation for this week is the YouTube channel simply entitled Cash Jordan. Now, Cash is a gentleman. He's a real estate agent in New York, and he does tours of rental apartments. But this is not your wealth porn, billionaire's row, penthouse type of thing. This is just normal apartments in various places like Brooklyn or...
That's quite an interesting concept.
Manhattan or wherever. So he tours these various apartments, and some of them are, let's be polite, are rather bijou and quirky, but they're still really expensive, I have to say. You know, you'll go into a small two-bedroom apartment, three-bedroom apartment, and it's $7,000 a month and such like. But I suppose if you're working in Manhattan or somewhere like that, and you've got a good-paying job, but they were, he was sort of talking about the estimates of what they would expect people to be paid, and they're talking north of $150,000 a year.
Not bad.
What the expected salary bracket for the sort of people that are renting these, you know, just normal apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the assumption is that you share this, a bit of a friend's situation, and that obviously, you know, you split it, you know, two, three ways, whatever's most convenient. His approach and these video styles is very much a bit of a touch of the Casey Neistat's, the way it's edited, the way it's filmed. He's got an e-bike, one of these sort of things with the big fat tires that are almost like a little, sort of like a motorcycle. There are pedals, but they seem to sort of be self-propelled, or that's an option anyway. And he sort of slips over to the area that he's going to view the apartment, and he'll talk about the eateries that are around it and other facilities and subway access and all the practical type of things. And then he'll give a quick overview of the apartment. He'll go through all the cupboards, the storage, the facilities, the vistas, etc., etc. And something, I don't know what it is, I keep finding myself wandering back to them. And obviously, once you start watching these things, they just keep popping up in your stream. So every time he posts a new one. And he's done quite a lot. I mean, there's hundreds of these little videos.
Certainly looks up my street, what with my never too small addiction. And I did notice something quite interesting about his thumbnails. Whether it is chance, given the ones that YouTube has fed me, or he happens to have found places that all work together, but in all of his thumbnails, there's a distinct smattering of the colour yellow. I imagine he's probably going to Photoshop and sort of doctoring them a little bit to just have these little pops of yellow. Like, he's got a post in a fence, a railing, this kind of pillar, the light coming from some windows, but there's yellow in all of them, and it's quite a nice bit of visual branding on his thumbnails. I like it.
They do sort of grab you. But yeah, so I've got no intention of renting an apartment in the New York area.
Yeah, funnily enough, I don't either, but I want to watch these.
Yeah, exactly. So that is my multimedia recommendation for this week, the YouTube channel Cash Jordan.
Wonderful. I'm going to recommend another podcast. Shock, horror, but not in general, because I haven't listened to any of it. This is a recommendation from my sister, because she knows I like voice acting and such. If you go onto your favourite podcasting service, first, go to Rec Addicts After Hours and hit the like, star, flag, review. I don't know what all these options are. But once you've done that, of course, you need to mark us in your favourites first. You can then go to... what is this podcast even called? I think the podcast is just called... It's either Ellis James or Eli with an S. Ellis James and John Robbins. They are from BBC Radio 5 Live. This is their podcast. But you're going to navigate your way to episode 129 and start listening from around 48 minutes in, because they interview Red Pepper. Pete, do you know Red Pepper?
I do not know Red Pepper.
He is in their segment called Unsung Heroes. And I don't know that he's unsung, because everybody knows him, even though they might not know they know him. But he's the guy who does, "In a world, one man, this summer." That guy.
That voice.
And it's hilarious and amazing and enthralling just listening to him talk as just about boring stuff. It's great.
But he's got that voice that just pulls you in.
He's got that voice. It's the stuff. I'll play a little bit to you later. But it's, Yeah, and then who cares about the rest of the podcast? But Red Pepper. Go listen to some Red Pepper. It's amazing.
And how long has he been doing the voice?
Mid-90s, I think he says in the podcast.
And he's still doing it now.
Absolutely. And I think, I googled him a little bit, I think he's got his vocal cords insured for about £10 million.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he's mostly done very well, because there were so many voiceovers with that voice.
Yeah, it's shocking how he's obviously not putting specific effort into it like I would have to this summer. Because I can't speak that low. It's just, you know, fry and sad. But it's just how he sounds. It's amazing. So listen to that, and I hope you have a great week. And come back for more Rec Addicts After Hours next time. Farewell.